close the tab for Zappos. I was buying new shoes. Sorry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Just going to provide some cover for the Riz while he keeps shopping.
I need some new sneakers, man.
I need some new sneakers. I do, too. I wore a hole literally straight through the bottom of my shoes, which I found kind of disappointing because I was like, I feel like they should have lasted longer than that. But it made me feel like a 12-year-old. I was like, really? A hole in the bottom of my shoes?
Yep.
Hey, everyone. Yes. Welcome to Make Me Smart, the show where we are multitasking all the time.
That's right.
It is What Do You Want to Know Wednesday?
Yes. This is our weekly chance. Yes, it is, which means it's almost Friday. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
True story, guys. I just slacked Kai like 3 minutes ago, and I was like, I might go get a beer.
Yep.
And then I was just too tired, one of those days. And I didn't.
It's been one of those days for Ms. Wood. Although I would like you to share how you started your day with the good people listening to this podcast. Just because,
really, do you think they want to know? You know what? Yeah, maybe it's. I think it's hashtag relatable. Everyone, I came out into the yard early in the morning with my coffee to bring the dogs out, and way far off in the corner, I noticed the dogs headed toward a dead rat. Dead rat in the yard, which explains the big crow that was actually in that spot in the yard when we first opened the door.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Opened the day scooping up a dead rat. And, you know, I got to say, it was really the tail that upset me.
It moves by itself,
even though it was like, I was just like, I couldn't. I did the whole thing with my eyes just slightly averted. It was upsetting. Okay. It was upsetting. Okay.
All right. Anyway, so back to the task at hand, shall we? What do you want to know Wednesday? It's our day to take y'all's questions. We had Ethan Parrott. Actually, we didn't. Molly and I didn't. But maybe Ben, maybe Sam, maybe Jody. I don't know. Somebody had Ethan. Hello, intern guy. Go through the document in which we have been compiling your questions since we started What Do You Want to Know Wednesday in April, back in April. More than 400, which is kind of cool. Now, the question, of course, is how many have we answered? And if we do like 3 or 4 on a Wednesday, that's a lot of Wednesdays we got to do. Anyway, so.
It seems like a slow pace. And yet, Ethan, keep them coming.
Keep them coming, for sure.
Make me smart at marketplace.org, subject line questions, because, I don't know, it turns out you can never have too many.
Yes. So where do we start today?
I don't know. Sometimes our producers, in sorting through the mailbag, determine that there are themes to some of the questions. Today's theme is a whole bunch of questions I'm not going to exactly know the answers to, but we're going to try. But it is a topic that I think is on everybody's mind because it's, you know, behaving so strangely and seems like maybe there's some opportunity or disaster. That is, of course, the stock market. And it's been all over the place. I literally burst out laughing today because right before the dead rat, I got a breaking news alert from Wall Street Journal that was like, stock slide as infections rate rise. And I just started laughing because I thought like, that could have gotten that news alert any one of the days of the last 6 weeks or so. And every day, it's every time that there's a stock slide, it's the same headline. And I assume they just have like a control alt two for like
they
the macro that says
paste or whatever. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. So big sell off today on the not new news that COVID-19 continues to spread rapidly. The New York Times apparently reported recently that a bunch of small time investors have recently opened trading accounts. One assumes because they have too much time. Also because they see the stock market mysteriously going up and they're like, maybe this is the time to cash out. And also they can't bet on any sports, evidently, was part of the...
Yeah, no, it's true. That's true, right? There's no sports to bet on. And that is some pent-up gambling demand right there, right?
It really is. And I kind of like that it's gambling demand because that is the best description for what is happening.
And that gets us to the answer to this first question. It comes from BT, who writes, I'm looking for some clarity on the topic of accredited investor. I've been interested in farming and sustainability and wanted to see if there were options for folks like me to be passive investors in agriculture. I was shocked to find that there are minimum requirements, aka accredited investors. Why is this a requirement to participate? So here's the deal. You can buy a share of let's say, well, before they got bought, you could have bought a share of Monsanto, right? Which is big in agriculture, makes seeds and GMO seeds and all kinds of things, right? And you could just do that because it's a registered company. It's traded on the markets. It is regulated. It has reporting requirements. It does all of that stuff. But if you want to invest in things that are not regulated securities, and there are many of them out there, there are requirements for you to, in essence, know what you're talking about and have enough money that you can afford to lose it all if this investment goes bad. So the requirements for this, to be an accredited investor, and you can look them up on the SEC website, but the SEC is trying to save you from yourself, in essence, because it is so easy to lose money on things that are not regulated securities. And that's mm-hmm. the nutshell of accredited investor. They're saving you from yourself, truly.
And we should note that back in 2015, there were some small changes to how investors become accredited, the accreditation of investors, which, the details of which I will not even attempt to delve into, but which did in some ways open up investing for a whole new class of angel investors, individuals with lots of money who wanted to become investors. Now there are proposed amendments as of January of this year, actually, to really broaden the current definition by adding these sort of new categories of, you know, what they call qualifying natural persons and entities, mm-hmm. probably more angel investors, probably more like rich people who want to play with their money in bigger ways. Because I think it seems like the dividing line, like you said, Kai, is the difference between investing in some individual stocks and then playing with the big boys.
Right.
Which, again, exactly. some protection still seems like a good idea, but it sounds like everybody's just moving it forward with sure, everyone in the pool.
You can go.
Why not?
You can go bad in a hurry. Okay, one more on stock market, and then we'll move on. And it's related to this first question, or the lead up to the first question, which is all these people who are doing this gambling / investing now because they don't have anything else to spend their time doing risk-wise. Mm-hmm. And that's this app called Robinhood, really super popular, especially with young people. As with all investing apps, right? Basically, lets anybody invest, whether you're accredited or not. Super popular, as I said, among younger people, one of whom is Andrew Waltz. He is a Robinhood user, and this is his question. Am I breaking the stock market? Or more specifically, is there a downside to not using traditional trading methods? Should I not use Robinhood? So number one, Andrew, consult your own financial advisor. Number two, no, you're not breaking the stock market, but there is such volume of these Robinhood trades that it is showing up in market swings, right? It's contributing to some volatility because there is that pent-up gambling demand. And look, you can use whatever app you want to trade. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Robinhood, the thing that Robinhood does is, we should note that pretty recently, within the last week, I think, a trader, somebody who had been trading regularly on Robinhood, committed suicide. Because of big financial losses. And Robinhood has...
Which turns out not to be real losses.
Right.
That's the tragedy of this freaking story. Yeah.
Yes. It looked like he thought he was hundreds of thousands of dollars in the red. Yeah. I mean, look, this app has issues. Scott Galloway, Professor Scott Galloway, who is now a longtime critic of the tech industry, wrote a piece saying like they're gamifying trading, online trading, into an addiction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what Robinhood does is make it really, really, really easy. In fact, it's been described as Tinder, but for trading. So the question the question mainly is like, it's not whether you're breaking the stock market, right? It's like, are you breaking your brain or are you breaking your own bank? And then Robinhood, of course, has had a number of outages so that when the market was tanking, people were unable to access their money in order to trade. And mm-hmm. so there's presumably like a large imputed value of lost money as a result of that. So like, look, it's messy and... I don't know, proceed at your own risk. Once you put this all through the lens of gambling, it just starts to get really upsetting, right? It's like, maybe this shouldn't be that easy.
Yeah, totally.
And yet we just keep making it easier.
Gamification. It's so true. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. So Mark Karp wants to know this. Change of subject. Will universities provide a steep discount on tuition or some other, quote, value added to families? How many private schools without huge endowments will survive this? Well, I would be personally grateful if universities would provide a steep discount on tuition. That's all I can say. No, look, I think so. Number one, we're going to do a thing on this, actually, on a Tuesday show, because it's a real, real issue. Number two, the aforementioned Scott Galloway, who has been observing, a lot of things, had a great interchange or interview in New York Magazine the other day. And I think I've talked about this, in which he said, look, the biggies are going to be fine, right? The Stanfords and the Yales and the UPenns and all the rest of them are going to be fine. It's the middle ranked, not especially well off, smaller liberal arts colleges that are going to suffer. And I am inclined to agree about that with that.
Yeah.
That's my gut.
I think that's very true. Well, and then I think we should also say, so are the parents and students who are paying huge tuition bills, even to schools that are in the mid-rank. It still might be $40,000 or $50,000, who are petitioning for relief. And most colleges, I think the UC system in California, right, has said, no. Certainly USC, yeah. I believe, has said, we are not planning to offer tuition discounts or other value adds. And I think that's a battle we're going to see well into 2021, because it's really fundamentally changing, not just the economics of those schools, but the way people learn and what we think of as the college experience.
As I sit here looking up at the bedroom window of my 19-year-old freshman at UCLA, soon to be a sophomore, but he's been home since March taking classes online, and I'm like, man, this is just really, really challenging. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I'd be pretty mad if I were paying for that. I definitely would.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you some of the conversations we've had in my house. But anyway.
I'm not trying to open up a painful wound, it up, and pour some salt and lemon juice in there.
Oh, man.
How are you feeling about that?
Well, look, so I'm glad kid number one got through his expensive, pricey East Coast college before this whole thing happened. I mean, he got through most of it anyway, so that's... He's now trying to find a job in the worst economy in three generations. But, you know, whatever. It's all good.
What do you think? Well, how do you feel about this question about the dollar? I don't want to talk about the stock market anymore because oof-da. But Scott Mickey writes in and says, it appears that global trade volumes are likely to face continued headwinds. America first, COVID, recession. What could be the impact to the U.S. dollar's role as the world's reserve currency? I feel like I saw a headline about this recently.
Yeah, well, you saw a headline about trade. So I think those are two not connected questions. Global trade volumes are going to face continued headwinds, right? The World Trade Organization came out yesterday and said down 18.5% over a year ago, their guess for the first half of the year or first quarter, whatever it is. So, yeah, that's going to continue to be a huge, huge problem. The dollar, though, while periodically under threat as the reserve currency for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the Trump administration's withdrawal from many of the international agreements and norms that we've spent 75 years building, the dollar's reserve currency status is, for now, fairly assured. Virtually everything is denominated in dollars globally, right? The reason people buy American debt, of which we are issuing trillions and trillions of dollars worth, is because if you want to buy oil, you got to pay in dollars, just for instance, right? Could that change? Yes. Will it change tomorrow? No. What's the reserve currency going to be? I don't know. Chinese renminbi, the euro. I mean, the euro's got its problems. The renminbi's got its problems. The British pound? No. So really, Bitcoin? I don't know.
Maybe Bitcoin. This Yale, I realized the headline that I found. By the way, I have actually, this is what I love about you guys on the internet, or as I like to call it, the literal net. Some of you have tweeted me because I have been saying, I'm going to Google that, but of course I'm not. I'm going to DuckDuckGo it, but we all agreed that that's too hard to say. And then I had forgotten that someone tweeted me and said, you should just say I'm going to duck it.
Which
I think I'm going to, because I like the danger and it's nice and pithy. So I ducked it and there were two Bloomberg pieces in a row by this guy, Stephen Roach, who is a faculty member at Yale, chairman of Morgan Stanley Asia. And those were the two pieces I saw that were literally back to back in Bloomberg, like a week apart. just saying full stop that a huge crash in the dollar is coming and that the argument that there is no alternative to the U.S. currency makes little sense. I feel like we should have him on and we could do a debate. Yeah. He forecasted a 35%
decline. What is the alternative? What is the alternative?
Libra. You know? Right. Facebook's Libra.
Ethereum.
Yeah. I mean, look, 10 years from now, it might be Libra. That's terrifying.
Yeah, totally.
Go the dollar.
Libra, for those who missed it, is Facebook's attempt, right? It died, right? Didn't it?
It did not. It has slowly... It's still chugging along. It's been somewhat reinvigorated. It picked up like a European payments processor.
Just don't
count them out yet. Don't get good at the politics, turns out.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
All right, that's it for us. We will be back tomorrow with another daily and one day closer to Friday. In the meantime, keep the questions coming. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. Subject line, questions. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. Don't forget to visit us online, marketplace.org/newsletters. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote does video. Ethan Peretz is the intern who gets stuck with intern-y stuff in addition to doing video stuff. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. Also, our smart speaker skills.
Ethan is the guy we dumped the 400 emails on and then asked for more. Yeah, right. We're not nice around here. Today's show was engineered by Daniel Ramirez. I hope our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. Senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark.
There we go.
Duck it.
You know what's worse than a dead rat in your yard? A decomposed rat in your yard, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was okay. I'm gonna stop. Here's to a dead animal free evening, everyone.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.